Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. How are you today, girlfriend, Christine Marie?
Hi there, Julie. I'm doing okay. How you doing, girlfriend?
You're sounding a million times better. I think you're on the back end of this cold.
I'm on the ass end of this cold.
I was going to say ass end. I just didn't know if we wanted to say that or not.
PG. I can say ass, can't I?
I don't know. I heard that you can't say B-I-T-C-H, but you can say bitchy.
B-I-T-C-H.
Why is appropriate?
Why?
Who are your in-house coaches? Are we really? Yeah, I don't know. What we like to do on this Sunday night is we just like to talk about the week, pull any great nuggets, enjoy ourselves, because life is too dang short not to enjoy ourselves.
Exactly.
And to talk about how to make our pillars of our life better. You know, we're always talking about how to make our bodies better, our financial state better, the pillars of our life, relationships, spirit. And that's kind of where our official coaching comes to play.
I think that's so true. I mean, I think that this week you and I had several discussions with you. I'd say, Julie, my spirit is low this day.
Exactly.
And you know, there always is that I-thou relationship. Mm-hmm. It's the I and the thou, the spirit, God, whatever you and. I just could not find my relationship this week. It just seemed very, very hollow. I guess it was a conversation that was kind of bummy, but we did it. We had it, and I felt better at least afterwards.
Well, and having the conversation doesn't necessarily mean that things had to be resolved.
No,
it just means sharing it with somebody close that can hold it.
Yeah,
and we're sharing it with you guys. I remember, I don't know, a couple of years ago, someone was talking about the difference between the spirit and your soul.
Right.
And where your soul is, they're defining it as your soul as your mind, your will, your
emotions.
Even.
Yeah.
And then your spirit is this other thing completely different.
Yes.
Now, I used to think as your soul and spirit is almost interchangeable.
Interchangeable, right.
And when I made the distinction, I mean, it's all esoteric anyway. So isn't it kind of,
yes,
we're
yes.
not, so when I made that
distinction,
I felt like I could play a little bit bigger.
Yes, you can.
I could experience healing in my spirit. And as my spirit goes, my spirit affects my soul. And I can, then my soul can grow into the belief of being healed.
Mm-hmm.
And then my body then changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it always starts with the spirit, making a really big faith deciding decision to believe a certain way.
Right. That's truly true. And that works though.
Yeah. I mean, and it may not, you may go, well, if I'm making a decision, that might be my soul making the decision. Yes and no, because you can say, I want to believe this. My soul doesn't necessarily believe this just quite yet, but my spirit is all on board.
Yes, your spirit's there. Your soul is getting there.
And my soul is leading my spirit's leading the way. I'm trusting, and now my soul has to get in on board, and mm-hmm. I have to work on my emotions mm-hmm. and my alignment. I've got to work on my thoughts.
Well, I heard this. I can't remember. Was it Chris Cuomo? I was listening to CNN.
No.
And
no.
Yes, I was.
No way. You, CNN?
Me? Me listening to CNN? No. But Chris was saying,
I'm trying to find a Van Epps, not Van Epps,
Van Jones.
Van Jones poster for your bedroom
for
Christmas.
Thank you. I love him.
I know you do.
I adore him.
I know. I'm trying to find a poster.
He better just watch out. If he ever comes into my hemisphere, he's going to have a hard time.
Well, I think he's in your
time.
Hemisphere. But
okay.
Not in your cat.
The ionosphere.
Well,
I don't know.
How about if he's just like within a mile radius? We're going to...
Oh, yeah, my radar.
Your radar is going
my
off.
My radar is clicking. Doot, 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 doot.
Where's that radar located in your body, by the way?
Right here, Julie.
On your first chakra?
Right here, Julie.
Or is that your last chakra? One of those chakras.
But I heard Chris Cuomo say, you know, I can't even remember what the topic was, but he said, hey, you know, we all talk to God, you know, but we really worry when God talks back to us. I was feeling blue because I'm missing that talking back. I usually enjoy a sort of this, like I said, an I-thou relationship, and I haven't in a long time felt that.
Right.
And I was missing that. I just was missing that this week.
And
I'm not saying that it's changed, but no, just missing it.
Those things, when they come up when you analyze your life, I think it's always this time of year.
Yes.
The holidays are great because they distract us from the ending of a natural cycle, which is,
yes,
you know, the ending of a year. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about, hey, what a couple of things can you do in the next 6 weeks so that you can end your year on a good note, in the sense of checking it off.
Well, and also, too, we have people in our lives that, you know, say, hey, you know, give me a sleeping pill on Thanksgiving and wake me up New Year's Day.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that in our lives that really do not like the holidays and want to have nothing to do with them, you know.
Oh.
And it's true, the sense that it's especially as you get older, it's not all joy boy.
Right.
Woohoo, woohoo. Right. Let's just spend, you know, $1,000 and run around like chickens with our head cut off and, you know, in bad weather, in freezing weather.
Yeah.
And then on top of all that, have to get everything, you know, get lights, you know, put out outside, which I know we did yesterday, or you and Dad did.
I have a story to tell with the lights. I mean, I'll tell it in a little bit. I think it's hysterical. We literally have this conversation every year with the lights. And we disagree on one thing, because this year you went and went, we said, we're going to buy that glowing ball that throws light up on the
power
lawn.
Lights, or what is it called?
Star Bright, something like that.
Where you just stick it in your lawn and it just makes the lights.
Yes, we did do that.
I like that.
We did do that. And you said, hey, let's put some other lights up too. And so we strung some lights, and you go, Julie, don't take more than 10, 15 minutes. And I said to you right off the bat, I said, Mom, we had this conversation every year that you say to me, don't spend any more than 10 or 20 minutes in the lights. And I tell you, it's going to take as long as it'll take and most likely over an hour. And you're like, how can it possibly be to string up some couple lights take about an hour? And I said,
this is true, guys.
I don't know. It will. And next year we will have the same conversation. Now, outside, I had the same conversation with Dad. He's like, we need to wrap these lights up when we take them down and put them on, put it on a pole so they're organized and they don't get caught up. And I said, okay. I said, but I'm just telling you right now, this literally is an hour gig. I go, how much pre-thought do we have to put into this that happens once a year? I go, and also, Dad, first of all, how much time are you going to spend finding some poles to put the ropes on? And we put these around banisters. So you have to have a small enough stick to go around the banisters, and you have to have a big long enough stick so that the strand doesn't touch each other. And so I don't see where the point is. I go, this is really an hour gig.
Just carry a big stick.
I go, this is really a gig that takes about an hour and a half every year. Let's just get through it. Crabby or not crabby.
Right. Mostly crabby.
Mostly crabby. And it's fun.
That's the thing. This is my point exactly, though. How do you feel in the holiday spirit, taking an hour and a half out of your weekend, which is, you know, filled to the brim with crap anyway, you know?
Right.
And string lights up, you know, and feel happy about it. And you will feel happy about it.
I did not feel happy about it.
And plus, I had steak last night. It was horrible.
Well, that's the thing.
That's the sad part.
You know,
once a week,
you have steak. And literally, it's horrible half the time.
Now it's getting to be more than half.
I know it is. And so last weekend, you had a great piece of steak.
I had the best steak ever. And so I wanted to redo it this week. I wanted to have it happen again.
It did not occur.
It did not happen. Well, I couldn't even eat it. I chewed it, and then I spit it out.
Yeah.
So I had a whole steak that was chewed.
That is a weight loss program all of a sudden.
Yeah, and our doggy loved it.
And do not throw it out.
Right. Just chew it and spit it out.
Spit it out. Yeah. It was funny because I came home last night, and I go, I was talking to Dad, who's at Walking Elliott, and I go, how was the steak? Because mine was pretty good. Mom's was really tough. I don't know why. And I go, well, did you offer to give her yours? And she goes, yeah, I offered it to her, but she said no. She didn't want to take it from me. I'm like, oh, well, that sucks. because the first thing I thought of myself is, knowing how much you look forward to the Saturday night steak meal.
Right, right.
If I had a good piece of steak, he should have gave it to you. And yeah. He said that you said no.
I did say no, because, like, screw him. He gave me the bad piece of meat.
I'm going to make him suffer.
Although we did find out that our little country market grocery store has twice baked potatoes, and they're huge.
Yeah.
They're like, I mean, we, all three of us could eat on it more than we would ever, and they're like $2.
Yeah.
And they're an amazing deal. So right. We buy one twice baked potato and add the steak.
Oh.
And a vegetable, and
it's good to go.
I should be happy as a clam with my comedy, my 90-minute comedy.
And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, because we usually do a movie review, and sometimes we haven't been seeing movies.
No.
And this week we have.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about our movie
review.
Ooh,
whoopee. Whoopee. Happy holidays.
You're bumming the hell out of me.
Although, one, I did see a cute commercial last night for... it comes out December 23rd. Why him? And it's a James Franco and who's the guy? Cranston.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston. And I guess he's like a little startup genius or whatever Franco is, and he falls in love with Cranston's daughter. But Cranston is on the, you know, starts trying to get revenge, and he gives him a tattoo that says "Happy Holidays," I guess. And James Franco goes, "It says Happy Holidays on my back." He goes, "You know, yeah." And he goes, "Oh, at least I like Christmas. So that's good." You know, so there's like there's nothing he can do
that makes him mad.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that would be a cute. At least the commercials look cute.
The commercials look cute, and mostly you like James Franco.
Him and Van Jones.
Yeah, and. So that's kind of nice. I hope it's good. But you've been getting into quite a few holiday commercials. Like, you love the one where Santa is all trim and getting into his Fiat, wants to have a trade-in.
Yeah, he goes, "Hey, the trade-in's on the roof, baby." I don't know. I like that Santa.
I know you do.
I like that Santa. He's got a V-shape.
He has a V-shape?
Yes.
On his back, yes.
No, he's just got a V-shape, you know, like those
bigger shoulders.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
As opposed to
a pear.
A pear shape.
got a little round belly. there's a lot of benefits to having a pear shape. You can put your head on it. Aww, nice little pillow.
Put a partridge in it.
And a pear tree.
Partridge in a pear tree.
How many days of Christmas are there? Are there 12 days of Christmas?
I don't know, but every year you always celebrate the 12 days of Christmas for me.
Yes. It started 2 years
ago. Are you
going
to do that? It started 2 years ago?
It started 2 years ago. Was it 4 years ago?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while, yeah.
And I don't know. I just don't see it happening this year.
Well, now I'm not going to. Screw you. It's supposed to be a surprise. I guess after 4 or 5 years, it's no longer a surprise.
I get like 12 bottles of booze.
You do. I get
Maker's Mark.
Well, this Jim year, Beam. Though, I noticed that you still have some of those little booze bottles.
I have them all
around.
from last year.
I think I got to stop giving you booze.
I hide them so that when the apocalypse comes.
You're going out to party.
I'm going to go. Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Right before I get eaten by a zombie. I'm going to, you know, swallow a Maker's Mark.
Well, when we get to movie review, I saw Arrival last night, and it brought up...
Is that the apocalypse?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, we all behaved like it was apocalypse, apocalyptic. And there are some benefits living in a big city and not some benefits living in a big city. Mm. so that was kind of interesting, and we'll share that in a little bit. What I want to talk about today, though, I was listening to some TED Talks, and... You know, TED Talks came out, I don't know, must have been 10 years ago. And they were this huge thing. You have like once or twice a year. And you had to be invited to go and then invited to speak. And it was just the top of everyone's, top of your own industry would go and do a talk. Or the trailblazers and so forth. And I think
so we're not talking about TED 2, the movie.
No, we're not talking about that. I tried watching that. I could not get through 5 minutes of it. Because going back to TED 2, TED's in a really bad marriage. I just thought, I'm like, really?
And he can't have a child?
I can't spend a half hour on this seeing TED 2 in a bad marriage.
And he wants to give his wife a baby, and he can't have a baby. So he decides that Tom Brady's going to... be the.
Oh,
the,
I didn't. He oh, needs what, sperm. Oh, I didn't see the whole
he
thing.
He needs the sperm of Tom Brady.
Oh, should I watch it then?
It's well, like, listen, that's a good scene because he, you know, Tom Brady's sleeping in his bed. And,
okay.
And Ted and Mark Wahlberg climb up the patio or the banisters and whatever, sneak into his room and they see Tom Brady sleeping, and that at some point they look, both look like, no, you got to give him the hand job. No, you give him the hand job. And they're debating on who has to give Tom Brady the hand job to get his sperm. And then, of course, Tom Brady wakes up and
he's like, what?
Kicks them both out like a football, you know?
Yeah. Like the great football player he is.
The Deflategate Tom
like
Brady.
Like the great looking guy he is. He could do no wrong. Yeah. He could do no wrong. So we're talking about TED Talks and
were we?
And I was listening to NPR and I finally get it. It was about giving. This whole episode is about giving. And one of the things they talked to the people, so it was on NPR, and so what it's about is
a TED Talk on giving.
Yes. Okay. And so what they do is the way this NPR show works is that they interview the person who actually gave the TED Talk, and they play a little excerpt from the TED Talk, not the whole thing, but very little bit, and they're mostly talking to the person who gave the TED Talk, and they're interviewing this volunteer firefighter, and he was talking about living in a small town and where, you know, they may have one or two professional firefighters and then the rest are volunteer. Or I shouldn't say professional, are paid. And mostly it's done by, for the volunteer ones, you know, an alarm goes off. And he remembers his first time the alarm goes off on his pager. And it sounds like a big siren. And the first thing he does is like, what the heck is that noise? And he realizes his wife goes, it's time for a fire. You gotta go figure out where the fire's at and then go. It's your chance. And, you know, he's his whole life he wanted to be a fireman, right? So he gets there and this woman's house is burning down. It's raining and or the house is on fire. And she's talking to the fire department chief. And he is a second volunteer who gets there, and the woman's outside and she's just so worried about her dog who's still trapped in the house. And this man, the fireman, the one we're listening to, is he goes, oh my gosh, I wonder if I can go inside and get the dog. That'd be so cool to rescue a dog. But he was second on the scene for volunteers. So the first volunteer who got there, the captain goes, hey, Bill, you go get the dog. And our guy, Joe, I don't know if that was his name or not, he was like, oh, man, I can't go into the building, the burning building to get the dog and save the day. So then the captain goes, hey, Joe, you know, where her bedroom's at is not on fire. Go into her bedroom and get her some shoes. She doesn't have any shoes on. So he's like, okay. So here he is. He really, in his whole life, he wanted to be a fireman and be this big hero, you know, save the day, save a woman, save a man, save a child, or even a dog, you know, or a cat. And he's told to go get a pair of shoes. And so he does it because it's his job. Mm-hmm. It's his volunteer job. He goes in, grabs the shoes, and comes back, and she's totally distracted, you know, still worried about her dog, worried about her house, and doesn't say thank you, nothing, and puts her shoes back on. Mm-hmm. And he kind of leaves feeling dejected. And, you know, he doesn't want to come home to tell his family what he did. Well, I went to a burning building to get the woman's shoes. You know, he didn't want to say any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But 2 or 3 weeks later, the fire chief gets a letter from this woman and saying, you know, you guys handled it so well and so professionally. You saved my dog. And you even took time to get me a pair of shoes, which I thought was so kind.
Aww.
And he got the letter and he felt so good. Mm-hmm. He said, so many times our life is based on we want to do these big, huge things.
Massive things, yeah.
Where we can be the hero to our kids and, you know, change someone's life forever. Mm-hmm. But every day we have the opportunity to be kinder, to do small things all the time. Get someone a pair of shoes, you know, reach out to people or open a door for someone or help someone out. I think a lot of times we do that already. We do that. Mm-hmm. But it's good to remember that those things are just as important as the big things, if not more important.
It's so true.
Because those things keep our society running appropriately with more kindness than not.
So true. I mean, where there's a certain amount of grace and dignity that really is expected of us to keep society somewhat smooth. And every once in a while, every one of us breaks bad. You know, every one of us wants to cut off somebody,
right,
or whatever. I saw a commercial just the other day. I think it was values.com, but it's this huge traffic jam. There's pollution, and this guy's at the stoplight. He's trying to pull into traffic, and nobody's letting him in. He's getting, and then another, you know, one guy stops and says, "Hey, go on in." You know,
right,
and,
right.
And the commercial just said, "Let him in."
Yeah, let him in.
Let him in.
Let him in.
And that was it.
And
it was just, and you know, and we all know what that feels like.
Right.
We all know, like, F you, I'm not going to let you in. And we all know what it's like is, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Right.
I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
Go ahead.
And we hopefully let them in 99% of the time, and the 1% that we break bad, somebody else is in their good role, you know.
You're right. I mean, and there it is. You hope that those moments when we break bad, because it's not about breaking bad that moment, it's the laundry list of shit that's gone bad that day.
100%.
That you're like, this is the last nerve. I'm on my last nerve. And, you know, and you explode a little bit, and you hope that somebody's there going, no problem. It's your, you know.
No problem,
no
sir.
Problem.
Go on in.
Now, there's been times when we've seen where two people have come together. Where, yes, they're both of their last nerve.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I remember Gregory was telling me a time when he got cut off, you know, mm-hmm. and he was really upset. This guy purposely cut him off for some reason. Mm-hmm. And Gregory said, I followed him for about 10 minutes because I could. It's just like, because this guy had just effing did it to me.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm like, done.
Right.
And he goes, at some point, reality kicked
exactly.
in. Exactly. And it probably wasn't 10 minutes long,
yeah,
he was following him.
Yeah.
But at some point, going, now I'm his shithead.
Yeah.
You know, he
right.
was mine. He was mine,
yeah,
and now I'm his,
yeah,
and now it's over.
Yeah.
You know, let's just move on.
Right.
But, and you know,
I'm on my way home from, you know, dropping off the kids at parochial school,
yeah,
and I'm following a dude.
And I'm following a dude.
Yeah, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
My daughter is now Mary in the church play, and I'm like following a dude because he cut me off. Where is their grace in that?
But like, Merry Christmas.
Merry Advent Christmas.
Exactly.
But, you know, like, luckily, reality set in.
Yeah.
That knock
That's
of,
what we hope.
Hey,
what That's
you
what
doing?
We hope. That,
the grace is there,
yeah,
right?
Grace is there.
And because we're all doing the kindness, mm-hmm, that we possibly can do.
Yeah.
I mean, here is he, the same guy that's doing lunch duty for his kids, you know? And at one point, this had just broken him. Like,
yeah,
you know what? Today's not your lucky day. Or in his mind, I'm not sure, he's probably going, do you feel lucky, dude? Do you feel lucky?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I get that, because sometimes you just want to do that.
Yeah.
They never end well, though.
No.
They never
I
end
know.
Well.
And it's always like, at least for when you and I are together, I'm always cashing a check that your butt's got to cash.
Yeah, you're
I'm
writing a check.
That's
my
right.
butt's got to cash. And there have been times I have literally driven away. And
sorry,
it's
just
yelling.
My mom. Let her be.
Let her be.
She's old.
No, I was just remembering one of the times I pretend to be you, and then I'll have conversations with people thinking that, oh, I talked to your mom. She's such a sweetheart. Or she was really struggling the other day. I'm like, no, I was struggling talking to you. But I'm not going to say that. I go, yeah, you know, mom sometimes gets frustrated with people.
Julia, this is crazy. I don't know what I'm remembering right now, but we were someplace and I don't know if it was if you farted or I farted or something. Do you remember this? And I go, oh my God, what if somebody comes in or something like that? And you go, well, I'll cop to it. You said that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this what we've come to? Like,
yeah,
I fart and you own
it. I own it. That could be. You know what?
Whatever works, right?
Right. But wouldn't you? Doesn't everybody want to have somebody like that in their life?
Everybody wants to have
to claim a
Julie.
Fart. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll claim your farts,
you go,
girlfriend.
I'll own it.
Don't worry, Mom.
I got your back, Mom. Literally,
I just passed gas. What if somebody walks in? I'll say, oh, excuse me, sir.
Excuse me.
I just passed gas.
It wasn't my mom. For sure.
But see, that's the kind of grace that's out there.
That's right. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Everybody wants one of those people that will just take one for the team,
so
right?
True. You will. And you would take one for the team. Thank
I
you,
will.
Girlfriend.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. So that was a sweet story about him, you know, wanting to be this big hero, saving the day, and realizing that he was a hero, or he was part of it.
Yeah.
And we're all can be part of it. Yeah. And then they talked about, you know, to these, I guess the crowd of these TED Talks are all young whippersnappers, you know.
Are they really?
I don't know.
Are they tech people?
Yeah, making their first millions. Who knows?
Okay, yeah. Whoop-de-doo.
Right. But what he was talking about...
I'd like to buy a mid-century modern out in the hills of California with my tech money.
Yes, with my $4.5 million.
What are those things called? Not dollars, but...
Oh, QuickBank or Bitcoins?
Bitcoins. Yeah. I'd like to buy a $7 million home in the hills with my Bitcoins.
You know, in 60 days, you know, 100% Bitcoin today.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the exchange is right now.
Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Tomorrow. I have no idea what the exchange will be.
Oh,
so.
And by the way, ma'am, he is paying in Bitcoins.
What the
heck? What the hell is a Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know? Oh, silly.
How dare you not
know
Bitcoin?
How dare you not know?
She'll have a transfer into your PayPal account tomorrow. can't anybody just write me a check? And then another thing they were talking about with giving this man, he lives in South Central LA, and he lives in a quote-unquote like a food desert where there's only fast food places, no Whole Foods, you know, very crappy food choices.
Oh, really?
Drive-thrus, you know.
Oh.
Well, they talk about that a lot in urban settings, that there's...
No real food.
Choices, yeah. But a lot of restaurants or a lot of fast food. And he was saying, we're dying. You know, he goes, I've got, you know, there's more wheelchairs popping up in my community every day, and people in wheelchairs, and people, you know, in different, you know, settings where he thinks, like, their health is really suffering from the fact that they don't have good quality food choices. And he says, food's a problem, it's also the solution. And so what he did was, in his sidewalk area, in his front yard area, he is just growing food. He's got an almond tree, he's got kale and tomatoes and all kinds of vegetables, and it's free to anybody. And but people didn't know it was free in the beginning. And he said, I got real sad one day because I just happened to notice people were in my front yard at 10:30 at night. And it was a mother and son. And they were taking food. And they, you know, I said, oh, hi. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take your food. He goes, no, I grow it here in my front yard for people to take.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Aww.
And it was sweet because you could feel how proud he was. And he could feel how he goes, we have a problem with receiving. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to give, but to give, you also have to be able to receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's that cycle. And how do you get into that cycle? Mm-hmm. And he said, and for me, I feel like this. I say, you can take whatever you want, but you need to leave something in return, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I've had people leave me trees, you know, and so forth. And and now we've got this flourishing, you know, thing going on. And he goes, it's a start. Mm-hmm. And he goes, instead of having, he goes, I want to be known as the gangsta farmer or something like that. And I thought about that. I know, like, in the Bible, it talks about how 10% of your crops is left for other people.
Right.
And I know when we've donated to the food pantry, there's always been barrels of apples or, you know, during the seasons or tomatoes during the season. And so, you know, farmers are out there just, hey.
Giving their 10%.
Giving their 10%.
Yeah.
And you had a story today about Robin Williams.
Yes.
About, do you want to share a little bit of it? Me tell it. Well, no, that was a sweet story because you watched the James Arthur Ray
last night
interview last night, and you said it was fascinating. And then you also watched a little story about Robin Williams.
It was on a Reels, R-E-E-L-Z.
Okay. So CNN had James
Enlighten
Arthur Ray.
Us. Yeah, the story of James Arthur
Which
Ray.
We should talk about a little bit later.
Yes,
I don't know.
Then
the other one, Reels had on about Robin Williams.
Yes.
And what you said about Robin Williams is that he was born wealthy.
Yes.
And never really struggled.
Never.
And always felt guilty about that, which is kind of interesting, isn't it?
But the people that really knew him said he did feel guilty about it, but he always gave.
Yes.
And they said that you wouldn't even know, like these little struggling comedy clubs that, you know, maybe this one guy said had two or three paying customers on a Tuesday night. He paid the rent and the utilities so that these things could stay in business because he believed that other people under him had to have a place to cut their teeth on and things like that. But he really got into the issue of homelessness. He started that Comic Relief.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Years and years ago. And
You were talking about, I thought it was so poignant. Mm-hmm. He had gone into a food pantry or like a lunch line.
Right.
And there were 500 people there, mostly families,
right,
who were there for food,
yes,
and eating. And he said the smell was so bad, mostly because it was 95 degrees in L.A.
Yeah.
And no air, of course,
No.
And he's like, I don't want to make anybody feel bad. I'll just leave. I'll just give you some money. And, you know, he goes, no, why don't you do some comedy? Because I don't want to do comedy. I don't want to make it feel bad. He goes, no, they need to laugh.
These people need to laugh.
We all need to laugh,
right? The director said, why don't you?
And he stood up.
Yeah.
And he said he did like a half an hour to an hour show or whatever. And he goes, at that moment, they were no longer homeless. They were an audience.
Yes.
And so you get it.
Yeah.
You get that.
They were transported.
Yeah. I thought it was a very sweet story.
It was a sweet story, and that once he got it, you know, that these are real people,
right?
Not just the homeless. He said that they said that after that experience, whenever he did a movie, he said that it was in his contract that something like 30% of the extras had to be homeless people.
I love it.
And so they had to get homeless people.
Yeah. Hey, you want to make some money a day?
Give them money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How cool is that?
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, and
that's how you can, help.
Right.
Just, you know, I mean, it is one thing to throw a, you know, a dollar into the Salvation Army, you know,
which
box.
Is wonderful.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
All our dollars add to something big at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I've put a couple dollars in already.
Have you, girlfriend?
Yeah. With my change? No.
That's what happened to it.
Exactly. But that's exactly right. But all these little stories, and I believe that we all do this.
And
anyway.
They are little stories.
They add up
to big things, though.
They do. And I think we're getting to the point, because another story was about charity, actual big charities. Mm-hmm. And this man was talking about that we need to get out of the idea of always looking at how much money goes to
administration.
Yes. Or fundraising or correct. Whatever. Uh-huh. Because if we didn't, because the truth is, if you had $1 million fundraiser and then you made $3 million from that fundraiser, you'd have still $2 million.
Right.
But if you had a bake sale and everybody's volunteering and you end up with $100 at the end of it, didn't cost you anything to do, but you only have $100.
Right.
He said, we got to get out of this idea of always asking for the bottom line.
Right.
And I understand that. And it made me mm-hmm. open my eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
And I do think some, though, charities are just a way for the people to not work.
Hello.
I mean, the people who are running it too. And then it was weird, though, because I was starting to feel weird about it. Like, oh, I'm not, I've got some of my own biases about this.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And I got to work on that a little bit because there are some charities that do really good work. Mm-hmm. People who do get really good work should get paid really good money and it should all work out. Mm-hmm. What you don't want is you're like, well, I don't want to give you, $1,000 and then know that I don't know, but why? Why would I care? You know, if the staff goes on a great vacation on the money or something like that, you know, I don't know. It was just, it really started the ball rolling and thinking for me, because to have these bigger ideas, these bigger plans, because you should ask your charity, what kind of big plans do you have for this? Mm-hmm. Who do you think you're going to help, and how are you going to help it, and how are you going to do it, and how are you going to get this money raised?
I was listening to Bill and Wendy on this week. I don't know if you were with me or not, but and she was talking about how, or maybe they both were, about how GoFundMe has totally changed the nature of giving.
Right.
Like, you actually... Like there was that older dude, and I can't even remember, but somebody said, oh, you need a GoFundMe account. He was like, what? I don't know.
Right.
But all of a sudden, you know, like $500,000 later.
Right.
You know, the guy
it was a guy who had an ice cream
yes,
cart.
Yes.
And
yes.
His daughter had passed away, and his daughter was working and supporting them, you know, or helping out the family.
Right.
And then when she passed away, he had to go back to work. And this man, like, well, this is nuts.
He's like 90 years old or something.
This is crazy. And they were able to raise $500,000 to the guy. Right. He's like, oh my God.
How did you do that?
And then you go, that's so sweet. And yet we don't get it. You know, we're like, how does this all work?
Well, it was interesting because when you're getting your master's degree, and so one of the scholarships that you wanted to apply for, you had to have a GoFundMe account to even apply for this scholarship. And so, you know, so you had to do it. And it was so interesting because somebody from your past who you barely knew.
Right.
Gave you over $100.
And it was so sweet.
Every time I think about that, I feel like the kindness of strangers.
For sure, kindness of strangers.
Somebody believed in you. And this is just a working woman.
Oh, yeah.
Just works.
You're right.
Not like big, you know, huge money.
And
but,
she said, I believe that you will manifest everything you need to do. And really, I didn't really want anybody to donate. I needed to have like 10 people donate.
You had to have 10 people donate
and
something.
And I hoped for that. Yeah. But I wanted the scholarship.
Right.
And then when I saw the pages and pages of people, you know, and how they were soldiers and, you know, and I'm just like, oh, man, you know.
All right.
You know. but it was really nice because I had gotten at least one scholarship through this process of getting my master's, which felt good, you know.
Yeah.
Felt really good.
But just reminded me, though, that there really are kind people out there that, you know, I mean...
Oh, I know.
To give that to you...
Oh, I can't even imagine. It made me feel so happy.
I know, Jules.
How to pay it forward. Yes. And you start off with your family by being kind to your family and then starting off your daily life... The kind things that you do all day long, how you can help somebody all day long. And then, who knows, there will be those times when you can do those big things. But it really are the small things that keep this world going.
You know, we've been talking this week or last several weeks about Wallace Wattles. And he wrote the book in 1800s or something about the science of getting rich.
1907, I think it was.
He talks about how each day is meant to be... filled up with a string of successes. So, and you're not supposed to worry about tomorrow, or look toward tomorrow. You're not supposed to worry about the past. You just live in that day and live to the fullest of that day in terms of, like you're talking about, giving and doing what you need to do. And that, in essence, then over the course of a week, you've had a string of 7 successful days, and then a course of a month, you know.
30 successful days.
Yeah, and so you can see how that starts, especially in terms of generosity even.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my gosh,
that works,
of course.
You know, like...
Of course. And sometimes we just need to be reminded to get out of our head a little bit.
I mean, how many times have we pulled up to a, you know, where you have to pay a tollway and they go, oh... Person in front of you, you know,
paid you. Or how many times if you like go to Aldi,
Starbucks,
you know, and you have to buy your cart at Aldi,
right?
I'm going to say it right now. We have in our town, we have an Aldi, we have a Walmart, and we have like 3 other grocery stores and a county market. Overall, I like Aldi, and I like it because it's small, and I can get out there in 20 minutes and do all my shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a community that's built there because you got to pay for your cart, but. Half the time, literally, my cart's already paid for.
Right.
And there's something sweet about
that. I know. It's so sweet.
There is this camaraderie.
Yeah.
But when you don't do that, you've got carts at Walmart just everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, well, somebody's paying to take care of those carts. Let them pay for it. But when we're all in together, things move smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for a little Sherpa movie talk?
Absolutely. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
Okay, girlfriend. So we have 2 movies we have to do our movie review on. I saw The Arrival last night.
Yeah, you did.
And you saw last night what you did not want to see.
How to Be Single.
How to Be Single. Yes.
Yeah. With only because Don't Breathe wasn't in, and Norm decided to just
go with that.
Just go with that. Just surprise me.
I can't imagine. I thought the game was a horrible choice.
Yeah, it was a horrible choice. I mean, I fell asleep through it several times. And
I think it was a horrible choice. I think it's on HBO now.
That's why. Oh, is it really?
I think it really was on HBO last month.
Oh, my gosh. I believe that. And then at the very end, I wanted to know, did these couples get, you know, together or whatever? And Norm goes, I don't really know. and that's kind of how he felt, like, I don't know.
I know.
And I don't really care.
Yeah. So what would you give this Sherpa Hats out of four?
Out of four? Like,
was it an hour and a half long?
A one. Yeah, it might have been a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe, I mean, I wouldn't waste your time on it. Even, okay. I wouldn't waste my time if you had HBO even.
Okay. There had to be some other choice to watch but this show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I felt about
it. Got it.
Really. You know?
So one Sherpa, if that.
At the most, yeah. Okay. What about you, girlfriend?
I saw the Arrival last night. I loved it. I'll give it four Sherpa hats.
Wow.
I mean.
Four out of four or four out of five?
Four out of four. If I'm going to go five, I'm going to go 4.5 out of five. Or even five out of five. It wasn't like it was super duper fast or big time
action.
It wasn't like that. It was more cerebral. Mm-hmm. Cerebral.
Oh, interesting.
And the alien interactions were. I'm not telling anything about anything. We know it's
please,
about.
Please, Julie, don't give it away.
These pods come down. There's 12
different
pods.
We see
pods.
That in the commercials.
And it was funny. This will be a little bit of a. What do you call it when you tell something ahead of time?
Teaser,
but you know, I don't want to.
Gotcha. What's that called? Come on, somebody help us out there.
Please. Anyway, so close your ears, don't want to know this, but literally the first minute and a half, 2 minutes, I had the exact same reaction I had to the movie Up, that cartoon.
Oh, no, you cried.
Oh, F and A, right. Doug looked at me going, this is going to be horrible if it's like this. Hold on.
I can hear him saying that because you chose the movie.
Oh, right. I chose the movie. And I said, oh, my God. I go, this is so sad. And I'm like, this is so painful. It's just painful. And literally, it was just like Up, you know, where you have this slice of life. And everybody's slice of life, if you go from beginning to end, always ends at an end. And it usually ends at death. You know, so
right.
Like, oh, my God, this is horrible. But then after that, it gets right into it where the aliens come and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not a lie. Like, it's not like at the end we find it really aren't the aliens. It's just the Russians. You know, it's not like that. Or, you know.
It's all a dream.
Yeah, it's not all a dream. It really was aliens. And, you know, I just don't want to tell much about it, except that it was really, really good and charming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think.
And that we're not really, really prepared like we think we might be.
Well, the one thing that told me, what brought up feelings of, because we have not one leader mm-hmm. for the world.
Mm-hmm. We should have an alien leader.
We
like
really
somebody should.
Somebody should
like, be in charge of that.
Exactly. Because what was happening at one point, we just, like the 12 pods come together, and at one point, everybody just says, we're no longer talking to anybody else because it's just crazy. And war kind of starts to break out a little bit. I'm not, you know, mm-hmm. nothing big, but society starts breaking down real fast. And looting goes on real fast. And
oh, really?
Yeah, looting? Really. And they said gun sales go through the roof real fast. And stock market goes down really fast. Mm-hmm. Everything happens real fast. And,
But so I'm shocked about the yeah. looting.
but it was all very multicultural looting, by the way.
Oh.
Or actually, it was a sea of white, I think. So that was even better. Mm. So that was interesting. And I thought to myself when it was all over, what a great movie. Like, we do have stored food, quote unquote, that should last us 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes just go, I don't know if I want to eat freeze-dried food for 6 months. But if that's all you have, you're feeling lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to myself, you know, we should probably have some seeds around, you know. And then also a book on farming.
Because
when you plant the seeds, then what? Then, mm-hmm. you know, like after they come up,
yeah.
how do you get more seeds from
yeah.
that? Because that's the whole point, right?
They germinate. When they come up, you got to tug them up. Don't you, Julie? You got to tug on them?
Yeah, tug on them. Come up and pray. Come up, little seeds. So it's sort of like the zombie apocalypse. Like, how do you live in the interim of this? And then things go back to normal and life becomes better, but it takes about 2 years for it all to work out. Mm-hmm. And then during that time, I'm like, I'm so grateful I don't live in the effing cities, because that just
Absolutely.
Goes back fast.
Yeah. Doesn't that go back fast?
It goes back real fast. Yeah. So I'm glad I live in the country, but I'm thinking I need about 3 books to kind of fill the voids. Well, one book would be on how to farm organically and then reuse the seeds. Like, how do I get the seeds from the tomato? And do I have to wait till the tomatoes? You know what I'm saying? I think you just can't.
How to get seeds.
Yeah, how to plant, mm-hmm. how to grow vegetables, and then take the vegetables and grow and have seeds for next year's crop.
I think that's so cute, Julie. You want a book on that?
I want a book on that, because I really don't know.
And then, it could be trial and error. You could figure it out on your own, though.
But yeah, if you had enough
seeds,
and to begin, and enough seasons. I mean, we live in, you only have a finite amount of time for that growing season. Yeah. I guess it could go south fast.
Although we could just do Bison.
Oh, that'd be so sad. You'd want to, and then I thought to myself, luckily we have a lake near us, so we could fish.
We could fish.
I don't have a fishing pole. I need to get a fishing pole.
You got nets.
I do. I don't have any nets. I could make nets. I mean, there are things, and then I know there's that book out there about foraging, and you can
That's
live
right.
off the
urban
land.
Urban foraging.
Yes, urban. Well, also, if you can urban forage.
Or suburban.
Yeah.
How about rural foraging?
Rural foraging. There's probably lots of greenery out there that we could eat and survive. I mean,
Julie, can we have daisies for lunch? Or
exactly.
What's
hibiscus?
Some,
and, yeah. Can you eat hostas? I mean, can a human eat exactly what the deer eat? No, I'll just follow the deer around. Or do I then shoot the deer to eat the deer meat? But then it's sort of like, once that's gone, it's gone. Well, then when that's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
Green stuff keeps coming back. So you just run this. I have no idea. So I feel, and then the gun issue, do I finally put on my list to get a gun license and maybe a concealed license? And then do I get a gun? Mm-hmm. All those things.
If you got to get a gun license, do you want to have a passport?
Right.
I don't know why I thought about that, but.
I don't know either.
Yeah, just decided that maybe I want to get a passport.
We do want to get a passport. Yeah. I know. You know why.
Why?
There's this cruise that you want to go on.
Oh, right.
That in your mind, you're like...
In my fantasy life.
Like, this would be an awesome cruise that I would want to do.
It's called the French Riviera cruise.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you start off in Spain.
Yeah.
And you go to France.
Yeah.
And Italy.
Yeah.
And you go around the boot of Italy.
Yes.
And go to Malta on the other side. Yeah. And it's
see
like
my
two
people
week,
in Italy.
See your people in Italy. It's a two-week big... Big ass.
That's my fantasy. Vacation. That's a fantasy life there.
And you go.
But you got to have a passport first.
Right. And the cost in itself does not look too bad, except when you start adding all the ancillary costs of this cruise. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, just put in the cost of the cruise. Why do you ever do that? Mm-hmm. It makes you kind of mad. Mm-hmm. It's like the cost is $3,000, which doesn't seem too bad if you're gone for 2 weeks.
So Julie, why doesn't Christy, Marie, and Julie have cruises to go on with their peeps?
I would love that.
Their lovelies.
I would love that. I think that would be awesome. I think it'd be fun. The problem with it, and this is my bigger problem, I'm not a girl who plans that far in advance.
I know.
And these cruises are planned years in advance, a year in advance.
I know.
This cruise is for next, I think, October, September?
I know Norm's brother, David, had a cruise scheduled for over a year.
Yeah, one of those Viking River tours.
Yeah, and got all the way to Barcelona or something, and it was too dry.
I thought it was too wet. Like, there was too much water.
I thought there was too little water in the river.
No, I think it was too much, but I could
be wrong.
Too
much water. Well, one of the two.
One of the two.
The cruise was canceled.
Yes. Can you imagine going all the way there?
Yeah.
And like, sorry, we can't take a float.
Oops, did you get insurance?
Yeah. Come on. That's craziness. And I think you have to get insurance for that. They say, well, you take your chances.
Yeah.
If you're going to plan a year out, stuff can happen.
Can you imagine getting
morons?
Well, it seems a little dry out here.
We're not going anywhere. This is called the River Walk. We're going to walk there. okay. Or what do you think they all gave us? Those hovercraft, I'm Tom Cruise and I created the hovercraft, or whatever. It's just a wheelchair. Because it was now dry. Or maybe we had, instead of going on a Viking River tour, if it was that dry, maybe you have those like swamp boats.
Oh yeah, that'd be
that
cool.
With a big. Yeah. You know,
maybe we'll just get a bunch of Segways and go on a Segway.
That'd be kind of fun. So it looked like an amazing tour. And for a good day and a half, we thought, maybe this is a possibility.
Yeah.
And it still is a possibility.
Yeah. So but we found out now that with your passport.
Oh, some of these countries,
you have to have had your passport for at least 8 months, 6 to 8 months.
Yeah. So we said we got to get a passport.
If we're going to do something that cool.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just fantasy life.
People go on cruises. I mean, that's not that big of a fantasy life.
Right, maybe.
But this is a big cruise.
Yes.
Because you'd have to then fly. Fly. Didn't mean to hit the microphone, people. Sorry. Fly across the ocean.
To get there.
And I think you
just
could
do
it.
Just to go on a cruise.
I think you could do it tranked out.
Yeah. Well, Dad said he didn't even know if he could with his vertigo.
Oh, yeah. And we're like, oh, he can stay home and take care of Elliot.
Oh, by the way, Norm, we're all going, but... Sorry about the vertigo.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Sorry.
You and Elliot, have a good time.
Yeah. You guys can go on your own vacation. Or Mom will go on a couple weekend jaunts with you later on.
So, speaking of Elliot.
Elliot's Corner. I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. And we have only about 5 minutes left of the show, by the way, so we don't have much. And to get into pillar talk, which we've kind of been talking about pillar talk the entire time.
Yes, we have.
So I have nothing to say about Elliot except that he's been sick this week.
Yeah.
He had an ear infection.
Well, we found out that he had a bad ear infection, and the vet thinks he has a food allergy because he's a paw licker.
Yeah.
Not a law picker, but a paw licker.
A paw licker, and because he only had one ear infected, she thinks that she could. Now,
that is, he's got a food allergy. And so we have found out that everything that we thought he could eat, he can't. The only thing that the man or the little doggy can eat is either bison or alligator. And
she
duck,
said and very duck. Exotic protein choices, because beef, chicken, and fish and grains are the leading causes of food allergies.
And
beef,
eggs. Yeah.
Eggs. Well, yeah, and dairy.
Dairy.
All right, because I said, what about, I got this thing, and also, most dog foods are not single protein sources.
Oh, no. I mean, we looked at the bison one. Second ingredient?
Chicken fat.
Yeah.
Or chicken. And like, well, you didn't
third
say that
ingredient?
In the
bag. Duck fat.
Yeah. So it is very, it's been a very,
that's
we
been,
failed the first week because I
we
got
failed.
Him, I found him a bag of single protein. It was turkey and sweet potatoes.
Right.
Called the vet called saying,
and he loved it.
And he goes, well, basically, you cannot feed the dog eggs. That's too close to dairy. And you cannot feed him
turkey
because that's
too close to
chicken.
Like, oh. So we failed the first week. Yeah. So now we're looking for some alligator or duck.
Bison.
She would like us to just
venison.
Have duck. Oh, venison.
Yeah, venison
yeah.
Be okay.
Yeah. And now I just am nauseated.
Right.
The idea of our little guy, you know, just having to have alligator or duck.
Honestly, Mom, I have to tell you. He's not having alligator. I cannot find one bag of alligator dog food out there. I have searched.
Julie, there's a market.
There's a market.
There's a niche for you.
And there's
alligatordogfood.com.
For you. I just made me laugh because sometimes you just want to, what's your niche? What's your niche? Out there, there's a niche for you.
Alligator dog food. Oh, girl, you're gonna be rich someday.
Exactly.
The world will thank you.
Right.
They'll be coming to your doors thanking you.
Yes, they will.
So, not the alligators, though.
So that's what I've been going through. And you know what? What I've done is I guess what I learned from my dog today is like, he doesn't care. I mean,
he doesn't care if he licks his paws.
He doesn't care if he's eating duck, you know, or chicken or turkey. As long as he looks at me and I feed him when he's hungry,
yeah.
He thinks all of his needs are met. And,
you know, especially if we're eating, he comes and sits right by us. And at least for me, he'll come right by me.
Right.
And put his paw on my lap.
Like, hey, we're sharing this, right?
And he's not like Charlie Ray, where Charlie Ray was like, you know, I
right.
want your food. He just very quietly waits.
Right.
This looks good.
This
I'm
looks
waiting
good.
Here for you.
Right. And I know you're going to give me some food. That would be awesome.
Especially when your dad makes a shitty steak.
And the problem is, if we're going to do this diet appropriately, I mean, they say in the directions, you can't let them lick your hands if you've had steak or chicken.
Right. For 6 to 8 weeks, right?
Yeah, you break the fast. You have to have this fast.
I mean, we ended up, we did like 5 days. That was it.
Well, once the vet said turkey's too close to anything else, you're like, just like, screw it.
Yeah.
We'll let them lick our plates.
Yeah.
And I remember getting this little guy way back when, and the breeder said, do not start feeding him table scraps or you'll train him to be a beggar. And so I was really like, I'm not going to have my dog be a beggar. Yeah. That was my other two dogs.
Yeah.
Well, my other two dogs weren't beggars. They would literally just hear us tap our fork to the bottom of our plate.
Yeah, they knew
like,
that was
they
the
knew
end.
They were done. Yeah. And they would run in and we let them lick our plate. I thought it was a cheap way of rinsing our plates off. Yeah. That's a cheap way of looking at, you know, having our plates washed, you know? Like, just let.
Don't understand our house, our household. They just didn't understand it.
And so we failed, but now we'll get better. Once I find the right dog food, we'll get better. Otherwise, he's just going to, who knows? I mean, we don't even know for sure. They can't do tests. You just got to keep trying.
That's right.
But you started making him, you know, because you said as he's a little puppy, you know, he loves me more when I give him food.
I know he does. I didn't know how to make him love me, Julie. Here, little dog, here's some food.
Like, walks all over. Yeah, I'll take some food from your mommy. I'll call you mama. Whatever you mean, call you,
I'll give you a kiss every once in a while.
Exactly.
I'll throw you a kiss.
That's where I went, Georgia. So that's the end of our show, girlfriend.
Wow.
And, you know, just real quick. We wanted to talk about little pillar talk. No music to start it off.
No Doris Day. No time for Doris.
We're still, you know, at the beginning of December.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is still time for us to end this year with a few things done. We've been talking about this for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing our personal assessment of the year so that we can start the new year off better and have growth. And sometimes you just want to say, throw it all out. It doesn't matter anyway. And the truth is, none of it really matters. We're all going to die.
And that's the end. Yeah. It was great.
So Merry effing Christmas, everyone. Do what you gotta do. Try to enjoy this time. Try. So, girlfriend, how did the show tonight?
Oh, Jules, I loved it because it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.